Hello, friends. Let's talk about otters. Oh, and Voyager being way out there. Texas is getting dark, and that's a good thing. And our new metal masters are great for wildlife. Isaac, please give us the intro.
It's a few years into the after times. You get what I'm talking about. So come on. What say we get together, have a few drinks, talk about the good stuff happening in this world? You up for that? Then have a seat, because all the best conversations happen when you're two beers in. Here are your hosts, Brett Weaver and Monica Ballard.
Okay.
No, I'll just be going, all right, here we go.
Gotta settle in. Settle in.
Enjoy my drink.
Saddle up.
Put yourself into the butt grooves of the chair.
That's right.
Rock back.
Butt.
Oh, you got the upholstered chair.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's because you let everybody take all the other chairs.
Well, it was a big group. I didn't want to intimidate.
Yeah.
It's like, hey. Hey, you guys.
And they would have been like,
Don't you know who I am?
Past one of them, they were talking about being in the military. I think she could take them.
I think it'll be okay. Yeah. I think it'll be okay. Hey, everybody. You're listening to Two Beers In, a podcast where we talk about good things that are happening in life and good drinks that are happening in life.
Right.
That's pretty good. That's better than the last one, wasn't
it? Yeah.
Yeah. And I am your host, Brett Weaver. I am right now enjoying what is called a dank meme sour.
I am your co-host, Monica Ballard. I had a dank meme sour earlier when I was waiting for you. I've switched off to a Helles Lager.
And Doug Fells is here, our buddy.
Yep, and I started out with a Paloma on tap originally, and now I'm to an Old Beluga Red Amber.
He sucked that Paloma down.
That's right.
Oh, my God, it was gone like, quick.
Was it good, or was it just quick?
No, it was really good. You know, felt like it was 2 ounces, even though it was more than that.
Yeah. Do you? So, a question that was asked at the bar, did you drink that Paloma with a straw?
Yeah.
Okay, see? Now, I am enjoying my dank meme sour without a straw. And I usually drink my drinks without a straw because I tend to drink them faster with a straw, so I throw the straw out.
Interesting.
Kind of makes sense.
All right.
And I have texture of the ice that, you know, is a dam to keep the liquor.
Hey.
The damn liquor.
Watch your language.
The damn...
Oh, that's the liquor you buy at the Hoover Dam.
Yes. Yeah. There we go.
Where you have all your damn questions.
Yep.
And we'll talk about the damn history.
All right.
So, great first story.
Yeah.
I usually get stuff from the Good News Network, or good.news, I think is what it is.
All right.
Or positive.news is where I go as well. But in this case... It was in our own local newspaper.
Get out.
Yes. So many of you may not know this, but there is San Marcos is south here in Austin, and they used to have this great place called Aquarena Springs.
Uh-huh.
And that I am sad that place no longer exists because it was just so cool as a park and a water park and all of that. Well, now it's called Meadow Lakes, I think.
And I can't say for sure because I haven't been either.
Okay. Well, and it's where the San Marcos River is. And it's a beautiful, it's where the Edwards Aquifer comes up. And it's known for keeping a pretty pristine habitat that's there before it goes over the dam and down the river. And you can go...
through the woods to grandmother's house. Right.
So, something that's just happened is over the last 2 years, they've discovered that after 70 years, the river otter is back.
So cute.
Yes. Yeah, like 1950 was the last time they saw one. And of course, there are still river otters in Texas. It yeah. just wasn't in this area.
Right. Wow.
And so now they've seen four.
That is that is newsworthy.
We hope that, you know,
some, that is not a fluke.
No. We hope that other otters come down from the north so there isn't some weird kind of inbreeding and something strange happens because of that. And then suddenly, I've been watching Fallout, so there's a lot of weirdness
right.
that could happen.
That explains that.
Yeah. So,
right.
so they're actually mole rats, you're saying.
Yes, that's right. So let me read the story real quick.
Meeting with the neutrinos.
You're right.
No!
So temperatures are rising and students are heading to the San Marcos River where they might swim alongside North American river otters for the first time in 70 years. They've been sporadic up and down the whole stretch of the upper river from Spring Lake, where the Blanco River intersects the San Marcos River. River otters are also an indicator species, a species whose presence, absence, or abundance in an environment serves as a sign of the overall health or condition of that ecosystem. So what they're saying is, hey, man, we're doing all right.
Yeah. I wonder if this has any impact from 2020. You know, during 2020, during the pandemic, we got a lot of indications from Venice, Italy, for instance, suddenly saw a resurgence of clear water, mm-hmm. octopi,
okay.
and dolphins. So, because people weren't coming.
Yeah, the cruise ships weren't coming in.
Right,
they weren't
yes.
on the gondolas. Yeah,
right.
Making
there
were no this silt come up.
Motorized gondolas. I wonder if that's the same kind of thing here with the resurgence.
I don't know. Well, I know that it's been on purpose that they are trying to keep the waters clean. It was. It's been an effort for as many years. That's why they closed Aquarena Springs.
Oh, okay.
And not only that, but...
I know I haven't seen a single gondola on the river in a year.
No. Well, you don't go down there. Come on, Doug.
Oh, is that what's the problem?
That's what it is. You know, that's why everything's okay. It's because you don't go down there.
Absolutely. I see nothing wrong. I see nothing.
So with the restoration efforts, and I can't guess about climate... Future droughts or aquifer usage, we might be looking at a future where the river otter does become a more known species up here. And then we would be able to conduct studies on it, said Massey, this guy named Dr. Massey.
Okay, but we got to do our part.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you're going to be walking along the San Marcos River
yes.
with your dog,
yes.
keep your dog on a leash.
Right.
So it doesn't run off, because from what I'm reading here, otters like to sleep during the day
mm-hmm.
in the grassy areas,
yeah.
right?
Yep.
And so if your dog goes running off and starts poking around in the grassy areas, they might hurt one of the precious little river otters.
The river otters. And let's be clear that the otters going away had nothing to do with dogs.
Right.
It had more to do with the pelts that they were hunted for up until that moment. And for some reason now, you know, 70 years later, we're like, you know, we don't need to do that anymore.
Right, yeah.
When we have plastics that imitate.
Yeah.
I'd like some imitation otter pelt, please.
We have a lot of river otter pelt coats in the 50s. I want to
maybe.
See that movie.
Maybe. I think we need to do some research.
Well, 30s and 40s, possibly.
Yeah,
a fox, you know, fox and rabbit,
yeah.
sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they have a really cool, sleek coat.
Yeah.
Okay, you're talking me into it.
Yeah, yeah, go for it. And you know, them's good eating. Let's not,
yep.
Wow.
What Whoops. Is this, otter?
that took a turn.
Wait, is it North American or South American? Definitely North American.
North American.
Ooh, delicious. Yeah. Delicious. Our next story. This is all science. Right now, I think I've done just about all science right now.
That's all right.
But celebrated spacecraft, the Voyager, is once again transmitting after NASA repair from 15 billion miles away.
This is astounding. I've been following this story on several different websites, science.com and NASA and that sort of thing. And it's really just amazing. Do go on.
Go on. Last November, one of NASA's most famous craft, the Verger.
V'ger 1, yeah.
If you're watching Star Trek.
From 1979.
Sure. Stopped transmitting messages to the great anxiety of those responsible. And they thought it had been enveloped in a cloud and an alien species had had it continue its search of finding everything within the known universe and then had it come. Oh, that's the plot. Sorry.
Yeah. That's the movie.
Sorry, my history's a little spotty. However, the most distant object from the Earth made by humans is again sending data on the health and status of its onboard engineering systems as it drifts through interstellar space. It's been 46 years and 7 months since it left Earth, and 11 years and 8 months since it bade Pluto, not a planet, farewell and left our solar system. So, yeah, it's really cool. I wish my father-in-law was here.
Yeah.
Because I bet you I could talk to him about this, and he'd be like, I don't know, read the thing.
Did they just unplug it and reboot it and plug it back in again?
Plugged it and plug
I
it back
do
in.
I want to know. I'm kind of going through trying to figure out what it was. They devised a plan to divide the affected code, so it was code that was bad,
right?
Into sections,
and we're talking 70s code here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
Fortran.
Jeez, yeah. It's even before BASIC.
That's right. Yeah. To make this plan work, and they needed to adjust those code sections to ensure, for example, that they all still function as a whole. Any references to the location of that code and other parts of the FDS memory needed to be updated as well. So. Truly, truly an amazing thing.
That's true. If one transistor goes out, you have to like reroute everything because you can't replace it.
Right.
Roger's never going to get back if he goes and tries.
No. Nice.
So the thing, from what I've been reading on several other websites, is they really needed to go back to the oldsters, the people who knew this code and knew how to recognize the flaws in it,
mm-hmm.
and fix it from there. And I think it speaks a lot for people with that knowledge that was sort of abandoned, was kind of like, yeah, well, we don't use that anymore,
right?
Except for, you know, Voyager 1.
Yes.
You know, and
Y2K,
right? That thing's not going to be heard from, you know, for the next, yeah. It's just astonishing to me how they went back to some of the original scientists and said, help us figure this thing out because it's talking gibberish. We don't know what the hell it's saying. And it's not just zeros and ones. It's just like, hey, man.
Hey, I'm really far away.
Yeah.
Y'all seem so distant. Can we
cold,
talk?
It's not groovy.
I don't like it.
Can I come home?
Yeah.
I can just turn around, you know? Be cool.
I wonder what the NASA funding cuts we've had since then, if they couldn't update their other systems and they're still using old code, so they had more people who are expertise in that.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly. So of the remaining scientific instruments on board, Voyager can still study the nature of cosmic rays and magnetic fields in interstellar space, but in as little as 1 year or perhaps just a little bit longer, even these will have to be powered off. By 2036, the probe will depart the deep space network and be beyond all communication.
Yep.
You know, until the aliens get to it and change it.
Yes.
And then
yeah.
Have it learn everything and it goes through a wormhole and then comes back through and as it's gaining the power... wants to read.
Yeah, I haven't seen that movie since I saw it in the theater in 79, and I have no wish to.
Yeah.
It was that good.
You don't know what you're talking. You are obviously not a Trek fan.
Oh, no. I loved most of the other ones, but that one was just tedious.
So, yeah. Especially by today's standards.
God.
It's like, can we take another flyover around the Enterprise? I know it's been a long time, but oh my God.
Yeah, some Trek porn.
Let's wrap it up. Wrap it up.
Shining lights and
Voyager 2 is a little behind its twin.
Yeah.
Moving a little bit slower. But, I mean, come on, 13 billion miles.
13 billion miles.
Jesus.
And 46 years, it's still running.
Yes!
Yeah, and,
yes.
And Voyager 2 is going out the other side of the solar system, I believe. So I think one's going one direction, the other one's going the other direction.
And soon.
Yep.
Wow.
Very cool. Next topic. Millions of birds now migrating safely through darkened Texas cities after a successful Lights Out campaign, which honestly surprised the hell out of me. I was like, in Texas?
Home of freedom and...
Is that why we had the blackouts after all? It was just a deal so that birds could fly? No, that's not true.
That's horrible. No. It's like, come and take my electricity.
Yeah. Get it from my cold. I need to project light straight up in the skies. Why? Because.
Yeah. Take my spotlights from my cold, dead hands.
Texas is in the middle of the most important migratory pathway for birds moving up and down the Americas. Nearly 2 billion birds, or one out of three in the U.S., will pass over Texas during their spring and autumn migrations. And half of those will be shot as they come over. To safeguard the over 400 species of birds that migrate through Texas, the Houston chapter, hey Houston, of the Audubon Society and their partners in the state have been running the Lights Out Texas campaign for 2 years, and they're seeing remarkable results. And my sister Simone is part of the Audubon.
Oh, fantastic.
Society. She likes to, she digged in birds.
Oh, well.
Digged in birds. With the prestige that owning and operating a skyscraper confers, maybe it's surprising to note that dozens of building managers have been convinced since 2022 to turn off non-essential outdoor lights.
Nice.
So that's how that works.
So wait, I can cut off the electricity, save some money, and get backpacks?
Yes.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
I mean...
You know, it makes sense. I think this is an easy thing to talk them into when you really think about
When you think about it.
Yeah.
It's what a good Democrat would do. Nope, I'm not doing it.
Nope. Hey, nope. No politics.
Oh, that's right.
Saving money.
Researchers working in Chicago and studying the effects of lights out campaigns and other phenomena impacting migratory birds found that reducing the reflections from exterior lighting on tall buildings worked to prevent 60% of all bird collision deaths.
Oh. So it's not just the windmills.
Yeah, it's weird that they would hit the buildings in broad daylight, but once you, it's night and you turn off all the lights, they're like, I don't see any buildings, so I fly right through them.
Yeah, well, I mean, and most don't fly at night, too.
Oh, okay. Then why are we turning
turning out the lights at night?
I don't know. Oh, because if the lights are on, they're going to fly towards it.
Oh, they're moths.
Pretty much.
Got it.
Bird brains.
I mean, think about it. At the thing that we've been talking about for a while now, The eclipse, remember how all the birds just got really quiet?
Oh, time to go to bed.
Yeah.
Whoa, I'm up again.
Uh-huh. Bees do the same thing.
That's right, yeah.
They just go, nope, we're not going in the dark. Forget it. Hmm. So, we're seeing communities all across the state join in on this effort because it's easy and it probably doesn't cost any money. And in fact, it saves money.
Probably, yeah.
Fort Worth is taking part in the Lights Out Texas, and the skyline looks decidedly different in these short, don't tell me about that. So a busy family of two working parents with kids going to school and after school sports might scoff at the idea. Let's scoff at the idea. Ha! Spending time to ensure birds can navigate over their property safely, but at the end of the day, it also saves money. There we go.
Yep.
It only lasts 70 days from the start of March to the middle of June, with a slightly longer period during the autumn migration of the middle of August to the end of November.
So I was telling Doug before he got here that not this past Tuesday, but the previous Tuesday and the Tuesday before that, I actually got up from my desk because I heard a familiar sound. The sound of laughing gulls. And not, I mean, it's enough for me. I'm very, very focused when I work.
Sure.
But I mean, just this intruded, just like.
Fantastic.
And I was like, are those what I think they are? And I went outside and looked. There were flocks of laughing gulls going above my house, heading north. And I was like, we're 300 miles inland.
Yeah.
Why are these gulls? Yeah. And only on Tuesdays. That's strange too.
Were you able to count them?
I was not. There was a flock though.
Yeah, but I mean, you might look. If flock can be three, but
it was a good flock of, you know, like 50, 75 gulls.
There we go. That's what I was.
It was a measurable amount.
Why are you giving me that look, Doug?
I've never heard of a flock of three. That's interesting to me.
I mean,
so we're a flock. How did we become
a flock? Look at us. Look at us flocking.
Three or more a flock.
Look at us flocking here.
Yeah. So it's only on Tuesday. So
I'm flocking here, all right?
So
Doug, of course, asked me if I ran. And I ran so far away.
Yeah.
The flock of seagulls.
But I couldn't get away. Yeah. So, but that along with the herons.
Yes.
The herons I often track over my house as well. Out there in the country, when they're going south in November and December,
mm-hmm.
and then when they come back north in as early as February, it's kind of like, yeah, we're done. We're done south. We're heading.
I get herons mixed up with cowbirds.
It's
just because I've just seen
heroines.
I'm on heroin.
It's
herons.
It's a female hero addicted to drugs.
Yeah. Sorry, man. I'm just nodding off over here.
Don't be silly, Brett. That's an egret.
Yeah, it's an egret. Right. I just was reminded that the other day when I was driving through to Louisiana, I saw a field with cows, and for every three cows, there would be like three cows, and then there would be a cowbird right in the middle of them. And there was like 15 or 16 cows that all had like a cowbird spaced in between. I was like, look at that.
Wait, what color are cowbirds in your world?
They're white, right? Yeah, they're white.
So they're not egrets.
No, I get them all mixed. You know what? I'm not the bird person.
Okay.
Simone is.
Okay.
She was probably listening to this now going, Brett, you got it all wrong. Why are you even? I'm like, because.
On to our final story.
Yes, our final story has robots.
Woo!
That's right. So across Alaska last year, there were 92 instances of animal strikes on the state's runways.
Damn.
Yes.
Why are they striking so much? Is it the year of the union?
Unfair. 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 More earthquakes. More earthquakes.
No.
This year, the Alaska Department of Transportation is rolling out a four-legged robotic guard animal that can be disguised as a fox or a coyote to deter animals from crossing or loitering on the runways.
Loitering. Loitering on the runways.
They're like, hey,
yes,
got any change? Yeah. Got any change, buddy?
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I could see bears doing that.
Yeah. Rolling around on their back going, ah, yes. This runway feels great. Mm.
So they've tried to use all sorts of deterrents to keep the runways clear of the state's wildlife. These included bringing pigs onto airport grounds to eat bird eggs in the 1990s. Boy, that's a stupid fucking idea. Here in Texas, we'll tell you, it's not a smart idea.
No.
Also mounting speakers that produce loud noises, firing at animals with paintball guns, which that would just be fun. That's just fun. They didn't really think it was going to work. They just got an excuse.
I want to know how high the person was who came up with this last one, though.
Yes, and even using drones that spray grape juice.
Okay.
All right.
Speaking of getting high.
So they went with Boston Dynamics, and got the one of those cool four-legged ones and had them disguised as foxes. Yes. So panels of imitation fur print can be attached to make it appear like a fox or a coyote, which the team behind the project decided on rather than fake fur. Oh, it's a print. Okay,
it's a print.
I was like, wait a minute.
I
did
know.
They
I did
kill
the same
some
thing.
Foxes
it's
and
like,
coyotes?
Whoa.
They
Hold
killed
on.
Some fake
Hold
foxes.
On.
Yes.
Yeah.
They that, killed a bunch of naugas.
Not a real green dress.
Oh, the naga beast. The naga beast roamed far and wide.
Oh, the nagas.
Yes, and they could only be cleansed with a damp sponge.
I love their belts. Named Aurora, the robot is a spot model from a Boston Dynamics.
Like a dog. Like
yes.
The size of a dog.
Yes, but an elongated testing period will also see if it can scare off larger animals like moose or bears. Bears, yes. Moose, they're just going to fuck up that machine. They're just going to stomp it.
I don't know. Doug was able to scare a moose.
Yeah.
That's right.
I was talking about the Newfoundland thing where I was looking at my feet and I looked up at the same time as a moose that was 3 feet away, and I went, ah, fuck, moose. And he went, ah, fuck human.
And y'all both ran off.
Yeah, it's like we both had the same idea, and it wasn't to be around each other.
So Aurora may be replicated in other airports. The robot cost $70,000 from Boston Dynamics.
And they can really only use it when the runway is not full of snow.
Right.
So that's a $70,000 investment that...
Well, but how often are the... So the question is how often are these animals loitering during the winter?
Yeah, they're probably looking for tree branches or something.
Yeah,
above
the
snow.
Bears are hibernating.
Yeah.
The moose have already rutted.
Yes.
so, okay.
All right.
We'll let it go. The only thing we have to worry about in Alaska now is there are the doors flying off. There we go.
Yeah, right. The fox scares away falling doors.
Wait, that's what? Right. When those doors fly off, they will hit. If they hit a moose, that's like double points.
That's going to scare them away. That's really why Boeing did what it did.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
We're trying
to
help
scare
you
the
out.
Moose. Yeah.
It's not about saving money. All right. So before we get to the last song, why don't you support it? Why don't you support us?
Really?
Come on.
Please.
Why don't you support us?
Why are you looking at Monica?
Wait, let me reread. let me try this again. Why don't you support us?
That's better.
You can do that by going to patreon.com/2beersin.
Wow, were you brought up Catholic? Because that was a really, that was a Catholic appeal.
Why right don't there. You?
Sorry.
All right. I could do it NPR.
Yeah.
Here we are at Aristocrat Lounge
in
Austin, Texas. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Two Beers In. On tonight's show, we're going to be talking about robots and
otters
and other animals. That's coming up.
Does somebody have a stabbing knife
it'll
I can
be
borrow?
Done in, it'll be done in 4X. 4X.
For Voyager 1.
Act 1.
Make it stop.
Voyager 1.
It's brought to you by Squarespace. No.
Migratory birds.
Yes.
All news you can use.
That's nice.
Yeah.
There we are.
Yeah.
So patreon.com/2beersin is where you can subscribe, like, join in, give us ideas.
Yes.
You can be part of the different tiers that are there. The first one just lets us know who you are. Second ones, you get a second episode each week where we talk about other things but are still pretty positive.
Yeah.
We're funny for 15 more minutes.
Yeah.
You can do that. You can also send us money on PayPal or Venmo by putting in 2beersin at weightlesspod.com, and we will thank you. Money, that kind of money isn't real, so just prove us wrong. Prove us wrong.
We will thank you in so many ways.
So, oh.
Whoa.
That's for the Patreon.
Okay.
Hold on to that, Monica. It's for the Patreon.
Oh, I blush.
Yes. And also go to twobeersin.com, and you can subscribe from there as well and put that in your podcast thingy.
Put that in your podcast thingy and smoke it.
Too technical for me.
And yeah. Smoke it.
And just as a reminder to everybody, I put show notes on both sites, which brings you links to where you can see everything and see what it is that we're talking about.
Shouldn't people pay more for show notes like that?
Sure.
But you don't have to.
No.
But if you feel guilty looking at all those show notes,
yes,
for free.
Wow, Brett's really working hard,
man,
on the show notes.
You know, we really ought to give him something for his time in trouble.
Yeah.
So he can afford a dank meme sour.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe even another dank meme sour.
And those of you who have subscribed and are part of our family, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're
all right.
So pleased.
Now, I have a new song to
you
play.
You personally?
No. Well, actually, yes, I do. I did write a song last week.
What?
I did, but it's just goofiness. And my whole goal right now is to write more loops to give to my rapper friends and say, is this something? How about this? Is this something?
Cool.
Because it's just easier for me to do than to write a whole song. Because I get these ideas, and I'm like, well, I don't know what to do with them. And I've already had a couple of friends going, whoa, that's cool. Give that to me.
Okay. Oh,
and I'm like, okay.
Nice.
And so instead of me going, I'm going to work on a whole new song, I'm going to go, I'm going to do this thing and see if that works. And that feels good.
Very cool.
So there you go. I heard this song by Caroline Polachek. It's called Butterfly Net. And what's funny is Jason, when I send it to him, he goes, oh, yeah, Caroline Polachek. I'm like, really? You already know who this is?
Dang.
Oh, yeah, I love her. And she did this and these. I'm like, you know more than me.
It's not a competition.
Between him, yeah.
It kind of is a competition.
Yeah.
All right.
But it is, I will tell you this, it's a very positive, sweet song. It's not Indonesian yak yodeling. So.
Okay. That's good to know. Wait. It's good to know going in.
Yep. Not yak yodeling.
All right.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks.
I am Brett Weaver. I've still been drinking a dank meme sour.
I'm Monica Ballard. I had a dank meme sour earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Really kind of on the sour side. And now enjoying a Helles lager.
And that's Doug over there.
Hey, Doug.
Enjoying an old Beluga Red Amber.
There we go. We will talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Earth went silent. London fell asleep. Dreamed of a winter where you appeared to me. Perfect timing as new battles in November. A tender creature, a fever, disarming fluorescent. There you were with your mirror. goes.